Hi there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from the Gaelic Athletic Association's Croke Park. Traditionally, when we think about IoT, we think about cool little robots and do-it-yourself kind of things, but we're here to learn today how IoT can actually transform the lives of people in cities and especially in this stadium. They use this as a test bed to learn about how IoT can help them learn about what's going on in the stadium, and also we'll learn about how you too can use IoT to transform the way we do things. All right, I'm here with Diane Zhen here, a postdoctoral researcher at the Insight Center, is that
yes.
right? I feel like we need to be quiet because there's like other people like doing actual research right now. Like if you hear the typing, that's real live computer science research. I'm so excited to be here, my friend.
Apart from me.
Not right now. So you worked on the Croke Park Stadium project. Is that right? Tell me about the project.
The Smart Stadium project. Mm-hmm. Actually, we are create a live project that implement IoT technologies. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of cool research in the lab. And for the Smart Stadium project, we try to apply this research output rather than put them on the shelf. We apply them to the real world and see how does the research that happened in the lab can benefit the people in the real world.
So there's a huge difference between what we do as researchers in a lab
yeah.
versus when you actually put it out there.
Yeah.
And did you work on the device part or the software part?
Both.
Okay.
Both, yeah. So actually, the role of our job is collaborative with everybody. So we collaborate with the GAA, Croke Park, Microsoft, and Intel. So we work from the ground level, the sensor level, to help the Croke Park people to install the sensors, select the locations, gathering the data. We work with Intel to develop software on the gateway to get the data from the device. And then we work with Microsoft as well to actually pass the data from the gateway to Azure. So we kind of collaborate with everybody. So we work on everything as well.
So you were actually one of the ones that implemented this stuff, both in the lab and then took it out into the field. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
So you are the guy that I want to talk to, because whenever we talk about IoT, we always talk about the end product and how beautiful it is and how exciting. I want to know where it broke and how you fixed it. Because I feel like IoT is very brittle once it gets into a live environment. My sense, how do you overcome those kinds of things?
Murphy's Law, everything can go wrong,
yeah.
it will go wrong.
Yeah, especially with IoT, right?
So in this project, we have a lot of experience which never thought in the lab. So the first thing is we select the location, and then we give the location to the electricians who actually install the box. And then a few days after, when we go there to check out the installation, we couldn't find the gateway. One of the gateway, we couldn't find them. And then we said, we asked them, where's the gateway? And they said, we actually installed the gateway on the other wall rather than the wall that we asked them to install.
And so it's just a question of it being in the wrong place?
That's one of the mm-hmm. problems. And then other things like they installed the gateway in a very awkward location. Mm-hmm. So every time you try to access the gateway, it can't reach them.
Because it's in an awkward location.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, these things are buildings of like cement and steel, and if you're using wireless, were you using wireless?
We do use wireless, but occasionally, because it's a research project, so we don't know in advance. And then every time we make some modifications of the code, and then we have to upload the code to the gateways. And we can, if something goes wrong, we need to manually check the gateways. So we do need to access the gateways, as you know, occasionally.
I see.
Yeah. So, this.
So when we're looking at building IoT things, it's a question of, is it in the right place? Can you access them? Those are two that you mentioned. What are some other challenges that you had? Because I imagine that when you put these things out there, they're not going to perform the way you thought.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, are you getting all the data that it's producing, and is the data correct? So what do you say about that?
We do have a lot of experience with the packet loss. Mm-hmm. So what we did, we test them in the lab, in the controlled environment, and then we were happy with the results. And then we deployed this device at Croke Park. And it worked perfectly after we installed them. We do the test, everything works perfectly, until there's a big game. So the stadium is full of fans, over 80,000 people, and suddenly you get packet loss, you won't get receive any data. So for this kind of environment, we cannot simulate, and we cannot test. until we deploy this device in the real environment, and that happens. So and the reasons could be very complicated, because this is not a controlled environment, and you don't know what's really happening there.
Sure.
So that's another challenge as well.
So you're saying that when people showed up and they turn on their cell phones, for example,
yeah,
all of a sudden the connectivity is going to be weird. You're going to lose a lot of packets. Did you lose everything, or did you just get diminished throughput? What was happening when you saw
it? So one of the problem we have is during halftime, we completely lost. We called the blackout period, with everybody taking off their phone during halftime and start browsing on the internet, watching videos,
sending ruined his experiment,
sending Twitters, and then it completely jammed the network communication, mm-hmm, during halftime. So we completely lost all the data during that period.
So what do you do with those kinds of scenarios?
Well, this is some interesting findings that from this project that we can feed back to the device manufacturers, the gateway manufacturers. So tell them you need implement robustness into the device itself and the gateway. So if you, rather than sending the data from the device to the gateway, there can be a two-way communication built. So if the gateway never received the data from the sensors, or there's some errors exist, some errors happened on the package, mm-hmm, that the gateway can request the sensor that ask the sensor send me the data again. So there's some tolerance you can build into the gateway to make the environment more robust. Also, the gateway can buffer this data. So as long as the network traffic is not too busy, so the gateway can send the data again to the Azure cloud.
I see. So this better protocol is what you're looking at?
Yeah, better protocols, and then more robustness, which you can implement on the both the sensors, Azure and the gateway. So for example, if the Azure doesn't receive data, it can send a message back to the gateway and request data again.
I see. Yeah. So are these things that you're actively trying to implement now, or that other partners are implementing?
We do implement it this now. So for the next phase, the sensors and the gateways will be more robust. And then for the next season, we can see how this new algorithm performs.
Fantastic. So what are some other challenges that you came up with when you were working on this project? Because I feel like you know where all the bodies are buried. I want to know what those are, because obviously this is a tremendous project that people need to implement it. We want to know what are the problems so that we can avoid
them. So one of the problems is find what actually people need.
Ah, I see.
So we do a lot of research, sitting in the lab doing a lot of research. But when actually we talk to people who actually are going to use these informations, like, what do they really need? Probably we didn't thought about it at the very beginning. So mm-hmm, one of the challenges is we show them the capabilities of what we can do in the research, and then get their feedback, and then adjust our research, and then show them again and get them feedback again. So we work both ways to make the final project much better.
And so you're saying that initially when you went over there, people weren't quite sure what they wanted,
yeah,
and eventually this became refined quickly.
Yeah, so it works both ways. So for us, we try to understand what they really need, mm-hmm, and then for them, it's find out what's really available from the research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were there any papers you wrote about this?
We have the white paper, and we plan to publish a few more papers about our findings about IoT.
Fantastic. So yeah, what were some key learnings for you personally when you did this project?
I don't know this question.
So what were some of the learnings that you had? What were some of the things that, let me do it this way. What were some things that surprised you when you implemented this project that you had not thought of before?
I don't have.
Like, is there something when you put this out there and you were like, oh, wow, I would have never thought of this. What were some learnings that you had that were surprising that you didn't think you would come up with?
Like, when you try to deploy IoT project in the real world, you don't know how many parties are going to involve. For example, a lot of restrictions, paperwork, safety, mm-hmm, things, and then a lot of things could happen which you never thought. That's one thing you learn from this project. For example, one thing is when we try to testing the gateways, we try to get the electricians from car park, we try to get the IT team people from the GAA, and then the engineers from Intel, it's just hard to get everybody work together at the same time. And then finally, when we book a time for everybody's time slot, and there's a storm outside, you cannot do anything.
Yeah. So it's just you found out that the hardest part of technology is people. It's true. Yeah. It turns out that all of our stuff would work every time if humans didn't use it. That's supposed to be funny. So anything else that you want to add to finish up?
IoT project is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's challenging. And then when you actually deploy them, there's a lot of surprising. So you never get a day very boring. So you always find something new when you do IoT stuff.
Well, awesome. Thanks so much, Diane, for spending time with us.
Thanks very much.
We've been learning all about IoT and some of the dragons that you need to watch out for. He knows where the dead bodies are, so make sure that you ask him. I love the stuff we learned about, particularly about the connectivity, which is super interesting.
Yeah.
And then just the notion of just engineering these things so that they're in the right place. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Okay, I'm here with Camille Ballas to talk a little bit more about the Croke Park project. You've worked on this a little bit, the stadium project. Tell us about that.
So I've joined the project in November, so it's been a few months I'm on it. And so I've been mainly working with Azure, so how from the data we have collected in Croke Park, how we can do some, extract some insight from them on Azure. So all using the right tools in Azure, so I've been learning a lot.
So tell me a little bit about, because it looks like you're getting a bunch of data from some master gateways. Tell me about when you get that data, what happens from there and what are some things you've learned?
So I've been working with some CCTV footage that's about the pitch. So we call it the pitch camera. And so because it's images, what you don't really think of is that the data will have different size. So you can't use an IoT architecture for images because images are more than 200 kilobytes. So mm-hmm. you need to store them in a blob storage. And so all the data are coming there. But then what do you do? So I've been working first to try to create a small API to retrieve those frames from the blob storage. And so to do so, I've been using some databases, tools, and all the stuff. So I've been working with just retrieve those frames, and then I realized that the way I did it wasn't a good way. And so, because what's great with Azure is that you have so many tools, but you don't really know which one you have to use.
So you said the pitch, which to me means the grass.
Yeah.
You're working with pictures of the grass.
Yeah.
Why, what's the use case?
So one of the use cases, because it's island, you don't have lots of sun, so they are using some artificial lights to make the grass grow, but it's really demanding in energy, and so it costs lots of money, and Croke Park wants to be a zero ecological mm-hmm. Stadium, so the first zero waste.
Carbon neutral.
Yeah, exactly. So what they want to do is to know where the sun is and where the lights are, so they can just shut down the lights when the sun is pitch. So
and so that's why you're taking pictures of the pitch all the time. How often are you taking pictures?
So it's like one frames per second. So
every second you're getting a picture of the entire pitch?
Yeah.
And I imagine, my understanding is this thing's 120 meters by 80 meters.
Yeah.
Which is really big. Is it one huge picture? Is it a series of pictures?
No, it's just one picture. It's like from the security kind of.
I see.
So you really have an insight of all the stadium. But so what's challenging with doing some analysis on that is that so the picture is not like, it's not straight. It's not like a drones where you would have a picture mm-hmm. of all the grass. You have some perspectives on it. So you have to take that into account when you do the machine learning behind.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the picture itself, because you're telling me you can't send it up, or you can and it takes a long time. What's the architecture look like? What are you doing with this picture?
So the picture arrives on the gateway, and then the gateway transfers the picture to a blob storage in Azure. And from that blob storage, we used a stream analytics that will transfer the images to a NoSQL database, so it's the document DB. Mm-hmm. And then from that document DB, we can query through a web API the frames we want. So we query the frames by timestamp.
I see. And so once you have that, so you have a huge document database of every second of the pitch. Now you have to move on to what is the question, what do we want to do with this? And so what question are you trying to answer?
So what we realize is that taking one picture of the pitch every second is not really worth, because from 1 second to another second, it won't change a lot, and it's cost money to store the images on Azure. And so what we are currently working on is, can we do some pre-processing of the data on the gateway, so before reaching the cloud?
I see.
And so we have gateways now that are quite powerful, but up to which stage they can they go to pre-process data? So it's all I'm working on right now. How powerful are they? So
how are you tackling this problem of sort of scrunching down this data at the gateway?
So on the gateway, there are three stages with the data. So first you need to ingest the data, then pre-process the data, then transfer them to Azure. But the ingestion and the transfer to Azure won't change a lot. Like if you are using a camera, that will be the same way. A microphone, it will be another way, but still it's quite similar. So I'm trying to kind of tackle a microservices approach where you have ingestion and transfer, which are kind of robust modules, and you can patch your own pre-processing. So it's really challenging because the gateway is just a kind of a small compact computer. So you work on a small environment. So is it really worth it to kind of dispatch everything? So and you want to treat in real time, so you have to think, should if like multi-threading is it the good way? How to ensure that the robustness, because everything can happen and you can't really think of. I'm sure when we will deploy it, something will happen we wouldn't think of, and it will break everything. And
so you're saying that there's an ingest, a process, and then a send out to Azure, and you're trying to change the way the pre-processing happens on the gateway.
Yeah.
So the code that you're writing will be on the gateway.
Yeah.
So how do you tackle this problem of taking a bunch of pictures and then pre-processing them into something that's manageable that you will send up? Are you looking at the pictures? Are you just going to send numbers? Are you going to crunch them down?
It depends what you want to extract. If you want to extract, for example, just to know from which picture it will be different, just to store interesting picture, you can keep in the gateway because you have some small storage. You can keep your picture, okay, that's my reference picture, and then kind of apply some algorithm to compare new incoming images and then say, okay, this one is better, I send the previous one to Azure and I keep this one to compare the following ones. And the ones that aren't really useful, you just drop them, you don't need them, so.
And so that way you're getting exactly the right pictures that you want when things change.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
That's awesome. What other strategies are you looking at to make this a little bit easier to push stuff up to Blob Storage?
So I think the part where you send the data from the gateway to Azure is not the hardest one, because if you use the .NET Core or even I'm doing it right now in Python, and it's quite straightforward and it works really well. So I think the most challenging part is to think of something that you can be that can be modulable. So you can say to other people, yeah, you can use it, it will work, just patch your own code and it will work. So I think that's the challenge, is they're making something that will work on other gateway, more powerful gateways, because I believe that in the future gateways will be able to have more power, computing power inside, so maybe we will tackle more interesting problem at the gateway stage. So I think the issue is there, how to make it robust and really allows you to make some updates easily, because if you have to go to the gateway each time to change your code, it's really bad.
Yeah.
And I know that the .NET Core for the SDK for IoT allows you to change your code remotely, so you don't have to go to the gateway and upload your code. So
interesting. So you're saying that a gateway can update itself?
Yeah.
And how does that happen?
I have no idea.
Yeah, but it's something that you know that can happen. That's awesome. So what are you looking for? What are you looking to do in the future with these kinds of things?
So create the modules and maybe try to use Docker containers with that, so it can be really, you can deploy it really easily everywhere.
And are these containers are living on the gateway themselves?
Yeah.
I see. So everything we've been talking about so far has been how to leverage computing power on the gateway to then send stuff that's a little bit more processed up to Azure.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what other key learnings have you had?
So lots about cloud computing. I never did any cloud computing before, and I think it's been really interesting to work with Azure because there are so many tools and so many opportunities. So I really hope in the future I will be able to test more machine learnings on the Azure side. So it will be really nice.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We've been learning all about how to use the cloud, and it looks like these fancy little computers that we've been talking about. Here with Camille, thanks so much for watching.
Thank you.